This morning, as we look at the message that we have before us here this morning, thinking of fathers, I want to encourage us as fathers this morning to take our role and responsibility seriously and to teach our children to love and fear God. You know, as I was thinking about Father's Day has a twofold meaning. There's not a single one of us here that don't have a father. So we need to remember to honor our fathers. We need to remember to respect them. And if they are still living, we need to remember to show appreciation for them in any way we can, especially on a day like today. But also for those of us that here that are fathers and are maybe will be fathers someday, it's a good time to reflect and remember our responsibilities and what each one of us has for that. As we think of teaching and training our children in the ways of truth and to love God, it's a great responsibility that God has given to us. This morning, the message we want to look at, the title of the message is going to be The Legacy of a Dad. Each one of us is leaving a legacy behind, something we'll be remembered by. You know, it's hard to imagine as we know life as we know it today, as we know each one of us that is here today, that 100 years from now, hardly any of us will be remembered. We might be remembered as the great-grandfather in a history book if the world still stands. We might be remembered as, well, some of you that are only in your teens or 20s, it might not be quite that far off, but for those of us that are in our 50s or older, it's, 100 years from now, there'll be a couple generations between now and then for sure. But yeah, what for legacy are we leaving behind? It's a devotional book that Lois and I are using right now by Dennis and Barbara Rainey, but the one that was in there here a week or two ago was titled The Riches of a Good Name, and I would like to read that. It's just a lot for us to ponder and think about. Are you trusted by your mate, by your friends, and by your children? Are you reliable? Do you fulfill your promises to your children? My dad, this would be Dennis writing this and speaking, his dad's name was Hook Rainey, was a man who was quiet, soft-spoken, faith and rock-solid integrity won him a good name in our rural community nestled in the Ozark Mountains of southern Missouri. I learned about that reputation forcefully one year during high school, and I began selling magazine subscriptions to raise money for our senior project. Without delay, I tried to make several sales to my numerous aunts and uncles. However, my pace slowed considerably when I began soliciting subscriptions door-to-door. I was discouraged about to head for home when I tried one more home as I was hurriedly rattling off my canned sales pitch when the old man interrupted me. "Son, what did you say your name was?" "Dennis Rainey, sir." "Are you Hook Rainey's son?" he said with a slight grin. The old man's etched face immediately brightened when I answered, "Why, yes, he is my dad." "Well, come on in then," he beamed as he unhooked the screen door and swung it open. He proceeded to buy two magazine subscriptions. I was no fool. From then on, I always let people know at the onset that I was Hook Rainey's son, and almost every time it led to a record of sales. For many years afterwards, I thought Dennis Rainey had won that magazine subscription contest, but it wasn't until Dad's death that I realized that really hadn't happened at all. It was Hook Rainey's character that had given me the victory. Without knowing it, my dad had followed Charles Spurgeon's wise counsel: carve your name on the hearts and not on marble. And I was thinking about that as I was thinking. Then he had here it says the word, what does the word integrity mean to you? Are you a man of your word? The presence of God's Spirit in your life can be real if you continue to walk in integrity and leave a legacy of a good name. And I was thinking about that in light of Father's Day today, as we think about fathers and what we are leaving behind, what we are doing, what will we be remembered for? The riches of a good man and a good name. The text that we'll be looking at here this morning, if you will turn with me at this time, very familiar portion of Scripture. We'll be looking at some other Scriptures as well, but Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We'll be seeing in here the twofold meaning that I was talking about in Father's Day, or the twofold, not necessarily meaning, but the thoughts of honoring our parents as well as our fathers taking our place as leaders and dads in the home. Starting there at verse 1 in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's four short verses here, but there's a lot of good things packed in these verses that we can look at and think about and process, and probably won't hear a whole lot new today than what we've heard on other times, other years, maybe other Father's Days at times. But I trust that each one of us will be called anew to maybe have a greater and deeper appreciation for our fathers, those that God placed as our authority over us and in our younger years, but also that we would take our responsibility seriously as fathers and dads in the home. I did want to mention too, and Brother Daniel mentioned a little bit about that, but don't raise your hand here, but is there anybody here that is perfect? Ponder on that just for a moment. Then none of us here have had a perfect father either. If none of us here are perfect, none of us here have had a perfect father either. And you know, sometimes we tend to dwell on our dad's weaknesses instead of looking at their strength and being thankful that we had a godly father. As I look back in my dad, you know, my dad's been gone for almost 40 years now, 36 or 7 at least. And he was far from a perfect man, but he taught me to love the Lord, and he taught me to do what is right. And I learned by example to be honest and a life of integrity in business dealings and things along that nature. There's just a lot to be grateful for as we dwell on the positive and the things that God did teach us and show us through that experiences. But as we look at that some more this morning, I was wanting to do that there in the opening, and I forgot that part. But yeah, it's just some things to ponder on as we go into the message and think about who we are and how we need to be honoring our parents. We'll be focusing mainly on verse 4, but we'll be looking at the other verses as well. And there will be three different parts to the message. The first part is a call to obedience. We see that there in the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I remember a quote something like this many, many years ago. The sooner you learn obedience, the better off your life will be. Who do you think told me that? It was either my dad or my mom, probably both of them at one point in time. But the sooner you learn obedience, the better off your life will be. The older I get, the more that quote makes sense. Not only will it affect your relationship with God, it will affect your relationship in your marriage, it will affect your relationship in your home, on the job, in your work, whatever your workplace is, it will affect your relationship to the church. It will also affect how you teach your children. As you learn to be obedient and as you learn to continue to be obedient to the Lord in all areas of your life. Quote that I found while studying, it says, weak families make weak societies and weak churches. Problems are not the problems. It's our attitude toward the problems that make the problem the problem. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. The problems are not the problem. It's our attitude towards the problems that make the problem the problem. Do we want to be a weak family and have weak societies and weak churches? Or do we want to have strong families and vibrant families and be known as strong in the Lord around us and in our churches? Adam Clark, in his commentary on the first phrase of verse 1 there, where it talks about children being obedient to your parents, says it like this: this is a duty with which God will never dispense. It is his command to us. In other words, it's pretty much self-explanatory. It says it as it is, and God meant it for what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then in the last phrase, for this is right, for this is what is expected, and this is what is honoring and glorifying from you. Verse 2, the original command we want to look at just briefly back in Exodus when God gave Moses, in Exodus, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And here we see in verse 2, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Basically, I think as we think of some of what we're talking about here and thinking about learning obedience, learning to honor our parents, learning to be obedient to our parents, basically in a nutshell, our life will be a lot better off if we learn obedience. If we look at what it says here and it's thinking about this being the first commandment with a promise, it basically is saying that obedience to the Lord will bring blessings on your life. That don't mean that everything will be all easy, everything will go, you'll never have problems, but that you will have blessings on your life if you follow in obedience to God's will. Part two we want to look at is teaching and training. A couple verses thinking about some of that to get our minds thinking. Proverbs 22 verse 6 is, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 13:24, and this verse is not very popular in society today, but it says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his child, but he that loveth him chasteneth him before times." So we see there that verse, that first one I read there in Proverbs 22:6. That don't mean that if we train our children in the ways of truth, that they will always choose and make the right choices. But I believe, and I say that to say this, that everyone is given a choice to make in life. Everyone has to choose to accept the Lord as their Savior. But I believe that without a shadow of a doubt that if we teach and train and instill in our children the ways of truth, that they will never be able to escape that training. Even if they choose to turn from what is good and right, that training will always be instilled in their minds. And not always, but sometimes God will use that to bring them back to the Lord. Thinking about some of that, and we'll be looking at some more of this, but in Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21, there's several verses there that really bring out a lot of things and that are part of the teaching and training in our homes and in our children. Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them or towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." You're probably sitting there thinking, what does wives submitting to your husbands and husbands loving your wives have to do with training your children? Well, I'm going to be honest and blunt this morning, but it has a whole lot more to do with training your children than what you would even begin to realize. Because if you have a good home life, if your father and mother in the home are fulfilling their roles and responsibilities in the right and proper way, it will go a long ways in creating a stable atmosphere that you can teach and train your children in the home. Two verses, the one there in our text, Ephesians 6, verse 4, says, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And then the one there in Colossians 3, verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." I believe, and I've said this in times before, but one of the greatest responsibilities that a father and husband, a leader in the home, has is to love his wife, the mother of their children. If that is not in place, I believe a lot of your teaching and training is going to fall on deaf ears. If you're always nagging at each other, if you're always harping at each other, if you're always arguing with each other, if there's a lot of yelling, if there's a lot of bickering going on in the home, how can we teach and train our children to love the Lord and to serve Him and be obedient to Him if we're not willing to take our roles and responsibilities seriously? A quote that I've seen while studying, it said it like this: "The best way to teach our children is The best way to teach our children obedience is to be obedient ourselves." Little quote says, "A father's love can build your children's life, or the lack of it will destroy your child's life. A family's love is the strongest cement in the world. Why? Because it is a godly cement. It is a bond that is permanent." And you think about that. If you pour concrete in the heat of the summer, you've got a very short time to work with that concrete, and it'll soon be set. If you don't finish it before it sets, it's going to be rough for the duration of the concrete. And we've got concrete there on our farm that was there before I can remember. So that's more than 50 years ago. And so unless you destroy it in one way or form, or use a jackhammer or take a piece of equipment over it that's way too heavy for the thickness of the concrete, or take something that's got tracks like a bulldozer or something over and destroy it in that way, it will stay there. And that's the same it is with a father's love and a family's love. If it's done in a godly way, it can build a child's life, and it can be concrete that is set in permanence. Don't expect things from your children that you're not willing to do yourselves. Don't frustrate your children by saying one thing but doing another. We need to live our lives consistently. Part three is the legacy. Thinking a little bit more there about the end of verse 4 in our text, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up, or training them up. The word nurture here, some of the other versions use discipline or instruction or chastening. Bring them up in the nurture, or bring them up in the discipline or instruction or chastening in the admonition of the Lord. We need to teach and train our children in a godly way. Don't just tell them what to do or not to do, but show them what to do and not to do. Brothers here this morning, I can assure you one thing. We know that pornography is a huge issue in society today. There isn't a single one of us here that is tempted in lustful areas at times as a man. And we need to be careful what we do with that. And when I say what we do with that we let God guard our eyes, that we let God channel that in the right direction. What I'm wanting us to get at, if you have boys in your home, as they reach the age of maturity, you can guarantee it, they will know what you are watching and observing and looking at. They will be watching what you are looking at and seeing. We need to be careful to allow God to guard our eyes and our hearts to do what is right in that area. We need to show that there is a way to walk purely and holy before the Lord. Thinking a little bit more of some of the things we're talking about, some more verses that really shed a lot of light into this subject of teaching and training our children. Back in Deuteronomy 6, the first 7 verses there I want to look at. The first couple verses give us some things of what we should be doing, and then it tells us to teach them to our children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 7. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. There it's telling us a lot of what we should be doing in life. But then verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, here it's not just telling us that we need to be obedient. We need to serve the Lord. We need to live the Lord. We need to remember that there is only one true and living God. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind. And we need to have these in our hearts daily. But then we need to teach them to our children. Says teach them diligently. That means to put forth effort, to do it in a way that they can understand it, to show them by how we live. When thou talk to them, when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Do our children see our faith and trust in the Lord? Verse 6 there in Deuteronomy 6 gives us a lot of things to think about as far as, and these words I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, we're supposed to, what we looked at there is supposed to be in our heart, but we're supposed to pass them on to our children as well. It was kind of interesting. Yesterday I went down through town on the other, down actually to the hay sale. There's a hay sale on the other end of Shippensburg every Saturday morning. And I just was working on finishing up some of the notes for the message for this morning, yesterday morning, and I was going down through town. There was this dad and a little boy walking down the street, or the street, the sidewalk, and the little boy was probably 2 or 3, and the dad was not tall, but he was fairly tall. And walking, it wasn't a fast walk, but walking like normal. He was holding his little boy's hand. The little boy was just trotting along. He was keeping up with him. It wasn't like he was falling behind, but he was pretty much right in step beside the dad. That was just a prime example of a child at that age has trust and respect in the dad that he's just following right beside him in his footsteps, so to speak. And as I was thinking about that, it kind of created a picture of what all of life should be. Even as our children get older and they're not 2 or 3 anymore, they're not walking by our side holding our hand. They're maybe walking behind us. They're still following in our footsteps and we're still showing them the way. Our children will many times follow in our footsteps. If we love the Lord and are obedient to Him and are willing to serve Him, it will go a long way in giving our children stability and peace and a desire to serve Him as well. In our text there in verse 4, we again think of that bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How do we relate to our brothers and sisters in the church? Are we willing to be accountable? Are we willing to ask advice? You know, the Proverbs tell us in the multitude of counsel there is safety. Are we willing to seek advice from others when we have things that we are working through? You know, I'm sure this morning I was thinking about different people's lives that I've observed over the years, and I'm sure we could talk about story after story of positives and negatives that have outcomes in the stories. But there's two that really came to my mind that I was thinking of. I know of a situation where about 25 or 30 years ago, a man in another community had a very serious sin in his life and was not willing to come under the direction of the church in some of those areas in his confession and making those things right. And ever since that time, he's been from church to church, never got along for very long wherever he went. Always kind of restless. Now he's in his probably early to mid 70s, and I heard just recently him and his wife changed churches again. And sad to say, everywhere he's been and everywhere he goes, he kind of spreads some dissension and discord before he leaves. It has a lasting effect on the churches that he left from. And the reason I share this is because of the children that I know of his, which is quite a few of them. Every one of them is following in his footsteps and creating that same atmosphere of going from church to church, not really settling in. On the flip side of that, I've seen men that are faithful, men that give their best to serve the Lord and support and get along where they are, and their children and grandchildren are following in their footsteps. I was at a funeral here probably 5 or 8 years ago now, that's probably at least 8 years ago, and as I observed the family as they come in, the children and the grandchildren, every one of them were Christians and serving the Lord faithfully. And I was just amazed at that, of the teaching and training that we do for our children, not just by what we say, but how we live and what we do, how that will have effect on the future generations to come. Fathers here this morning, what for legacy are we leaving behind? Do we want our children and our grandchildren to be faithfully serving the Lord? Yes, it takes effort sometimes to serve the Lord. It takes a lot of effort sometimes. It takes a lot of sacrifice to serve the Lord. But are we willing to do that because of our obedience to Him? Are we showing our children by example what it means to be a man of God? Just a couple quotes here. I have a tendency, I'm not sure why, but I started doing it a while back. If I see a quote, I'll take a screenshot of it. And this morning as I was finishing up some of the things here, I just copied some of them down. Just a few thinking about fathers. This one here came from, actually was in Adams Electric, or we're on Adams Electric for our electricity, and it was in one of their magazines, and the one article, our neighbors, one of the board members, and it was him and another guy, they were having a talk there. One of them said that his motto for life has been, do what's right, do your best, and treat others the way you want to be treated. And I thought about that, you know, that's a good motto for all of us, especially us as fathers. Another one that I found somewhere along the way, it says, be the reason that others believe in good people. Another one, if our children aren't taught godly ways, the world will gladly teach them ungodly and cultural ways. And the last one that I copied down says this, integrity is doing the right thing, even when you know no one else will know or no one is watching. So just some good things to think about for us as fathers, and us for all of us here this morning. I want to encourage us to take our roles seriously, to be a dad. To be a dad to others that maybe don't have a dad, or that their dad isn't really what he should be. To be willing to reach out to others. You know, I just had a, and this can be in all avenues of life, I just had about a 30-year-old man come to me about a month or so ago and wondered if I would walk beside him for a while, that he's struggling. And as his story unfolds and some of the things he went through in his home life and just the things he's going through in his marriage, and he's part of an Anabaptist church, and yeah, just I asked him why, you know, maybe why isn't he sharing this with some of his home congregation? He said, well, he's not sure that he can trust the people because of the way they go around to talk about others behind their backs. And that some of that's just horrifying to hear some of the stories that come out in that. So the reason I'm saying that is to encourage us to do whatever we can to be there for others, to encourage others, to be a dad, to be a dad to your children, to be a father figure to others that maybe don't have a dad in their life for one reason or another. Just encourage each one of us to continue to be faithful and be the godly men that God has called us and wants us to be. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.